who I am. My name is Kelton, and you have found yourself in week 8 of our 13 weeks considering the discipline of discipleship, what we're calling gospel culture, discipleship in the church. Today, particularly, our topic will be spiritual disciplines and discipleship, so I hope you all got a handout on the way in. You guys have handouts? Lois, you've got one? All right, so you'll see, if you look on there, what our outline will be. But we'll get there in just a second. I'd like to start by praying. So if you would pray with me as we start. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for waking us up this morning. Lord, for your mercies that are new each morning. Lord, for particularly this first day of the week, in these first hours of the day, when we can remember Christ risen from the dead for our justification. Lord, that we gather because of his resurrection from the tomb, because we have new life in him. And Lord, so we give our entire selves to you. And Father, we pray that we would have wisdom this morning to think about what it means for us in our discipleship relationships to encourage one another, to instruct one another in the spiritual disciplines, especially in prayer and the study of your word. We ask this all for Christ's glory. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, we have in the past few weeks considered in this class what it means to have a culture of discipleship, how the gospel, the message of Christ's life, death, burial, and resurrection should naturally impact the way that we love and care for one another, the way we help one another to follow Jesus. In the weeks to follow that, we defined what is discipleship. We considered our corporate gathering as a part of our discipleship of one another. We considered how to form relationships in discipling relationships and how to disciple. We thought about some tools for discipleship, barriers in discipleship. And now, in week 8, spiritual disciplines. Discipleship and spiritual disciplines. We'll get to defining spiritual disciplines in a moment. But I do want to ask, do we have any... Well, this is a question of identity. So, do you consider yourself... Are there any athletes in the room? Athletes. Does anybody consider themselves an athlete? Look at you.
Lucas.
All the hands all the hands down. Well, how about this?
An athlete would be a walking sport.
If you were to be an athlete, what is required in order to successfully train for athletic competition? What is required to successfully train for athletic competition?
Discipline.
What does that word discipline mean?
It means being focused.
Focused. Okay.
Stand target.
What did I hear?
Consistency work.
Okay. All right. Any other ideas? What is required to succeed in athletic competition?
Cardio.
Yeah. So you have to have certain unless your athletic competition is golf or something.
I'd say certain love for what
okay.
you're doing.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
I think most athletes who are at an elite level don't hate what they're doing.
Sure, yeah. At least an appreciation for its importance, yeah. Those are all excellent answers. The Bible often actually compares the Christian walk to an athletic competition, right? There are a number of passages that portray us as athletes maybe running a race or athletes boxing or something like that. But I particularly want to start our discussion this morning by looking at a verse that uses the language of training or discipline for the sake of godliness. So if you would, start with me in your Bibles in 1 Timothy 4:7. So you see that printed right there at the top. This is where we're starting this morning. 1 Timothy 4:7. This is Paul writing to his protege, if you will, in ministry, a young pastor, Timothy, and his calling on him to live a certain way of life. So would someone be willing to read that verse for us? 1 Timothy 4:7.
But have nothing to do with irreverent and silly myths. Rather, train yourselves in godliness.
Why don't you go to verse 8 too?
Okay. For the training of the body has a limited benefit, but godliness is beneficial in every way, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come.
Okay, excellent. Yeah, so depending on your translation, it might say train yourself, or discipline yourself for the sake of godliness. And then in verse 8, he goes on to compare our training for godliness with bodily training, right? The training that an athlete might go. You know, their hours on the field or in the gym, all right? For while bodily training, he says, is of some value, godliness is of, he says, value in every way. Why? As it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. Right, so he is setting before us the great value of this kind of discipline, this training for the sake of godliness, because it holds value not only in this life, but in the life to come for eternity. Right? So Paul is calling on Timothy, and Timothy, by his example, all of us, to train ourselves, to discipline ourselves for godliness, to be godly. Just to be clear here, what is godliness? Can you name some synonyms of godliness?
Holiness,
okay. Godliness, holiness, cleanliness? No.
What else? Righteousness.
Righteousness, okay. If you were explaining to someone who never read the Bible, what is godliness? Does that mean like we live like Zeus in the clouds and wear white and hold lightning? That's godliness. Nope.
Godliness is next to cleanliness.
Reflecting the character of God.
Reflecting the character of God. So yeah, we have a big answer there, right? Whatever God is like, not necessarily in his attire or his home in the clouds wearing white, but in what he's like. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, all these kinds of things, right? So the Bible here is calling us to discipline ourselves, train ourselves to be like God, to have his character. Right? And there are, I'm sure you can think of, we could spend lots of time citing Bible verses that command us or exhort us to this kind of way of life, to godliness.
To be holy.
To be holy, yes. That's a great example of 1 Peter. To be holy as he is holy, citing there Leviticus, right? We want to be godly not only because the Bible commands it, but because of what we just read in 1 Timothy 4:8, right? Because it's of great value, not only in this life, how we live the next so many odd years of our life, but forever. So we're starting here in this class by taking that command in 1 Timothy 4:7, the command to train ourselves, to discipline ourselves for godliness, and we're going to meld it with what we've been discussing in our class on discipleship, right? What is our definition of discipling? Does anybody remember? It's on your handout if you need help.
Helping others to follow Jesus through intentional relationships in which we model, teach, correct, and love.
Great memory there, Tanji. Yes, right. Discipling, as we've discussed it every week, is this way of life that helps others to follow Jesus. As we follow Jesus, as we are his disciple, discipleship is helping others also to follow Jesus. And the means by which we help them is through these intentional relationships. And in those relationships, we're modeling, teaching, correcting, and loving. So let's combine this. We have this command in 1 Timothy 4:7 that we're to train ourselves, discipline ourselves for the sake of godliness. And also this idea that we're to disciple one another. We're to be in these relationships of discipleship. So to follow Jesus then, the Bible tells us we must be trained. We must, to follow Jesus, be trained, disciplined for godliness, right? That's 1 Timothy 4:7. And so discipleship added to that means that we can help one another follow Jesus in our intentional relationships by modeling and teaching one another how to be disciplined for godliness, right? In other words, how to practice what are known as the spiritual disciplines, right? Just as an athlete has a particular regimen, maybe if you're a soccer player, you need that cardio, you need to be able to run for 45 minutes without stopping, essentially, right? There are also particular disciplines of the Christian life, ways that we are called to live. And our topic this morning is to consider how can we, in our discipling relationships, help one another grow in those spiritual disciplines. Any questions up to that point?
So we need to be trained.
Yep.
We need to train ourselves.
Yes.
We need to be teachable so others can train us. And we need to train others.
That's right.
And disciplines.
That's right. That's right. Well said. Yep. All right, then our next question to consider are, what are the spiritual disciplines, right? We've talked about that a few times. We can't get too far without discussing what are the spiritual disciplines. Well, there is no chapter and verse list, but the Bible does teach a number of ways that we are to, 1 Timothy 4:7, train ourselves, discipline ourselves to grow in godliness. So can you think of any examples that the Bible, Old and New Testament, commends that we particularly are to train ourselves to grow in godliness?
Prayer.
Prayer. Okay. Can you think of any particular examples or commands?
Well, Jesus prayed.
Jesus prayed.
Philippians, prayer without ceasing.
Pray without ceasing, okay. There it is. That's all you need to know. Pray without ceasing. Okay, and you pointed out, I think Jesus is this model prayer to his disciples. Pray then like this in the Lord's Prayer. Okay, so we have prayer. What else? What other disciplines of the Christian life are there?
Far be from me to sin by not praying.
Oh yeah, amen. Yeah, that's a good example.
Mm-hmm. Reading the Bible.
Reading the Bible. Yeah, scripture reading. You might see this on your handout, but I might group that under the whole kind of umbrella of Bible intake. So there are lots of ways that we consume the Bible, if you will. It's not just reading the Bible, but there are other ways, right? What other ways do we consume the Bible?
Memorize it.
We memorize it, yeah.
Meditating.
We meditate on it.
Sing it.
We sing it.
Sermons.
We listen to sermons. Yeah, the word about preached.
Other Christian resources.
Yeah, so we can read other people who have thought well and applied the Bible to our lives. Yeah. We can just listen to it read. You know, that's kind of like reading, but you can just listen to someone else read it to you in recordings. Yeah, there are lots of ways that we can. I don't think we mentioned, it might be under the category of sermons, but study. So it's a kind of step deeper than reading is Bible study. Yeah. So we have all these ways of scripture intake. So we have prayer, scripture intake. What other disciplines of the Christian life are there? You can rattle some off here.
Spending time with other people.
Okay, so fellowship, spending time with other Christians. Yeah, that's a way that we grow in godliness. Yep.
Yeah. Like fasting.
Fasting, yeah. So Jesus commends that. We see the apostles practicing that, fasting for the sake of growth. Yep.
Church attendance.
Church attendance. Yeah, so that's what we've considered even in this class, corporate gathering, but yeah, part of that fellowship and worship, Bible study is all through the gathering. Yep. What else? I might suggest we see examples of in the life of Jesus of solitude, right? That's usually accompanied with prayer or other things, maybe fasting. But solitude, silence, retreat, something like that. Any other ideas? Reading more into the
discipleship.
Well, discipleship, amen. Yep. That is a big assumption here. Yep, discipleship is one of the spiritual disciplines, yep. Yeah, other ones that I've thought of are service, right? The way that we serve one another and non-Christians. Are journaling, you know, for those who journal. Maybe hospitality. Yeah, singing. We've kind of mentioned that already, but to draw that out in particular, worship through song. Yeah, so all these are commended and commanded by us in Scripture as ways that we're to train ourselves for godliness. And I do want to be clear here at the start. These are all among what we would call good works, good deeds, right? Things that we do in obedience to God to please Him. But just to be very clear here that these good works, these good deeds do not merit our salvation, right? That is, it is not because we do these things that we are forgiven of our sins and granted entrance in eternal life, right? Yeah, exactly. So why is it that we do them? Why do these myriad of things that we just listed?
Because we
haven't been forgiven. Okay. All right. Anybody else want to comment on that? What is the motivation to do these things? You know, hey, you're already saved. Why grow in godliness?
Jesus did it.
Jesus did it. He's our example. Yeah, this is how he lived. Yeah, amen.
Because we want to. God.
Because we want to. Yeah. And part of what it means to be forgiven is to have a new nature, a new life in Christ. It doesn't just like, I've got to read my Bible. God said so. But I get to grow to be like him. Yeah, our motive in these things is not in order to earn or receive from God, right? It is the blessings that we receive from him already. Yeah. All right, well, with that out of the way, so we've considered both the command in Scripture to discipline ourselves for the sake of godliness, and now what are the spiritual disciplines? And now we're going to consider the topic at hand. How do these spiritual disciplines, these two roads of discipleship and spiritual disciplines, where do these two roads meet? And just to be clear here, we're not going to spend our time arguing for the importance of these disciplines. We're just going to assume that in this class. But we're going to particularly focus on how, in our discipling relationships, discipleship in this church, we can focus on these spiritual disciplines. And in particular, not all that, not that whole list, but the disciplines of prayer and scripture intake, Bible intake. And with each of those, we're going to answer the questions. How can we use our discipling relationships to model and teach these disciplines? Right. So we're meeting together, and I want to, in my relationship, model and teach how to pray, how to read, study, memorize the Bible. But also, how can we practice these disciplines in our relationships? So not only teach them, but also these relationships are an opportunity to practice them. Right. We're not just to pray on our own. We're not just to read the Bible on our own, but in community. So we're going to do both of those for each prayer and scripture intake. Right? Any questions before we start on the first of these prayer? Any questions, comments, observations so far? All right, then. Let us start then with first prayer. Our goal, again, is to answer how can our discipling relationships be used to help others learn to pray? And then second, how can we practice the discipline of prayer in our discipling relationships? But first, let's start with a definition of prayer. What, in your own words, is prayer? What is prayer?
Communication with God.
Communication with God. That's succinct. Communication with God. What other definitions do you guys have? What other, in your own words, how do you define prayer?
Relationship.
Relationship. Yeah, it's certainly an aspect of our relationship with God. Yep. Right, relationship involves communication, right?
I know when you're thinking about like intercession or supplication, mm-hmm. it's asking God to okay. do what He's promised to do.
Yep. Yeah, so part of prayer is asking, making requests to God. In particular, you're pointing out based on what He has already told us, what He's promised that He would do for us. Yeah, I've probably quoted this to you before, I feel like. But anyway, John Bunyan has a wonderful definition of prayer. His definition of prayer, John Bunyan is an old Puritan, English Puritan, who has a wonderful book on prayer. But he writes this. He says, prayer is a sincere, sensible, affectionate pouring out of the heart or soul to God through Christ in the strength and assistance of the Holy Spirit for such things as God has promised or according to the word, for the good of the church, with submission in faith to the will of God. There are a lot of aspects there. I don't suppose you're going to write that whole thing down, but I want to point out here, right, that it's sincere, sensible, affectionate, right? So this is love. This isn't just kind of our duty, right? It's pouring out the heart. It's what's really in us. It's that sincere a heart, a soul to God through Christ, right? We can do this because we draw near to God through Christ with the strength and assistance of the Holy Spirit, right? We know that we pray with the help of the Holy Spirit. And what we are praying for, he says, those things that God has promised, or according to his word, and that for the good of the church, with submission and faith to the will of God. So that's a good definition of prayer. One author compares it to the breath of a newborn, right? Prayer is the sign, just like breath in a newborn is a sign of life, prayer in the Christian is the sign of our life. And it is as essential to us in our Christian walk as oxygen is to that newborn babies. There's simply no Christian life and no following of Jesus without this discipline of prayer. So let's state the obvious, though. Are Christians born again knowing how to pray? Day one, being a believer, do you know how to pray?
No.
No, Camille says.
Well, I mean not. I shouldn't say no.
I think so, because you can't be a believer without.
Can't be a believer without it. That's what I just said. Yep. Yeah, I think this is like a both and, right? Yeah, this is the birthright of a Christian to know how to talk to their Abba Father. But there is actually a need to learn how to do that. The disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray, right? And they had been walking with their Lord and Savior for some time. And before that, they were faithful Jews in the observance of the synagogue, right? So there is an aspect that we need to learn how to pray. How about another question? Can we be short-sighted or selfish in our prayer?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. How about another question? Is prayer sometimes hard?
Yes.
Yes. So what we just covered in those three questions is the assertion that we need prayer to be modeled to us. We need to learn it. It needs to be taught. We need correction in our prayer because we can be short-sighted or selfish. And because it's sometimes hard, we need others to help us. We need the love of others. And so if we talk about modeling, teaching, correcting, and loving, what is that?
Discipleship.
That's discipleship. That's our definition of discipleship, through intentional relationships in which we model, teach, correct, and love, right? That's all part of discipling, modeling, teaching, correcting, loving. So let's consider that then. How can our discipling relationship be used to help others learn to pray or be corrected in their prayer or be encouraged to pray?
Praying with them.
Praying with them. Okay. Praying with them. Do you pray with those you meet up with, John?
Yes.
Okay. Can you explain what that looks like to us?
Well, I mean, you just, when you meet with people, you talk about what's going on in
okay.
their life, what challenges they may be having, what positive things have happened to
okay.
them, and those are things that you pray about with them.
Okay.
To reflect kind of what you do in your life.
Yes. Amen. Yeah, so we might, in our discipling relationships, just learn those things about what's going on in their life and maybe tell them, hey, I'll pray for you in that. But how much even better to say, let's pray for that right now, right? So if you're getting together for a meal, or if you're spending time with one another in their house, or just catching up after church, right? You can say, yeah, I'll be praying for that, but you can also just pray. And that's the way that we model not only how to pray, but a dependence on God. What other ideas? So again, the question is, how can our discipling relationship be used to help others learn to pray? So we have what John suggests, pray in them, in our relationships, and that way model prayer. What else?
Study different prayers of the Bible.
Yeah. Have you been involved in among our ladies who are participating in How to Pray? Can you talk about how that study has helped you to learn how to pray? Or has it?
Yeah.
Okay, it has. Praise God. Can you tell us how?
Yeah, so one of the prayers was studying the prayer of Hannah,
okay.
Samuel's mom,
yep.
and just seeing how, like, it seems really silly how she was praying at first, like, the priest thought that she was
mm-hmm.
drunk,
that's right.
but, like, seeing her heart behind that, just, like, her grief and her desire
mm-hmm.
and her love, and I was just able to grow in that study and learning more about how Hannah prayed and that
yep.
and how the Lord used that and grew her.
Yep.
There were just different aspects, like even just like her eating, like
yep.
going from not eating to eating,
yep.
like that was the work of the Lord in her
yep.
life. Like she didn't have what she wanted,
yep.
and the Lord used that prayer to make her okay with what she had,
Amen.
And then He gave her a different desire. So.
Yeah, having participated in study, but immediately I can see how that teaches us what John Bunyan was saying about prayer, is that it's an affectionate pouring out of the heart and soul. That is a pouring out of the
yeah.
heart and soul to God,
yeah.
right?
Well, so just learning that that's okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
Amen.
Like, ugly cry it to God.
Yes.
And
Amen.
Hear it.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Has anybody else participated in the study and want to
no.
okay. say anything?
Raise
your
hand for a second question.
Sorry.
No, it's been good.
Okay,
I mean,
it's been good.
It's been each lesson somewhat on like different type of prayer.
Yep.
First of all,
yeah.
prayer, and then prayers of supplication.
Yes.
Prayers of grief.
Lament. Yeah.
Yeah.
Lament. Yeah.
It's uh-huh. just been really good seeing from the Bible specifically how it is taught.
Yeah. That's really good. So I don't know if you ladies think of it this way, but that is discipleship. When you're getting together for that study, you are in discipleship relationships, maybe not one-on-one, but in a small group, right? And that study, that Bible study, is what we're going to get to next, but it is helping you learn how to pray, right? And where there's positive instruction in that environment of the different kinds of prayer, you know? So we're looking at Scripture to understand how to, you know, I'm assuming prayers of confession, adoration and praise, petition or intercession, thanksgiving, as you mentioned, prayers of lament, right? So this is positive instruction by reading Scripture to learn how to pray, right? So again, that's a wonderful example of how we can use our discipling relationships to help others learn to pray. Any other thoughts? So we've thought about modeling it, positive instruction from Scripture to learn how to pray. Any other ideas of how we can use our discipling relationships to help others learn to pray?
not just like praying with them in the moment, but remembering what someone's going through throughout the week and sending them
prayers.
I
did not think of that. That's excellent.
My friend Laura sends me voice texts of prayers, and I just like listen to it over and over throughout the day. The thing that I'm going through.
Amen. Praise God.
Grown a lot just from that.
That's such a blessing of technology. With the supported missionaries we support, that's how I normally pray for them. As I pray for them, but then I record it and send it to them on WhatsApp or Facebook message or whatever. Listen at your convenience. Here's a 2-minute prayer for you. Yeah, that's a wonderful way. Yeah. So yeah, use technology to pray for them, but also share that with them so they can hear and pray with you. Yeah. Yeah. One other thing I thought of was use written prayers, right? We've discussed the use of books as a tool, right? We can not only just use books on prayer, but actually written out prayers. So there are good resources. I'm happy to recommend books that are filled with wonderful prayers. So this is kind of the example that we have of Jesus when he taught his disciples how to pray. He gave them, the what we call the Lord's Prayer. So there is a use of a prayer written by or said by someone else that we can learn from as a model and then make it our own. So the way that I typically use those prayers is read them out loud, but then from them jump off and voice that prayer in my own words, right?
What was that, a book?
Well, I'm commending books. I haven't said any specific books. I think one of my favorites is Valley of Vision. So it's a kind of collected volume of Puritan prayers. Valley of Vision. I've been reading another one. Well, Spurgeon's prayer book is phenomenal. But I don't remember what it's called. I think it's maybe Spurgeon in Prayer or something like that. So using written prayers. I mean, you can do this in the Bible too. There are wonderful written prayers in the Bible. But there are a lot of saints who have written prayers. And then, we said this and we walked by it, but books on prayer, right? There are good books that you can read, much like a study, books on prayer. And I do have a recommendation for this one. My favorite is also the shortest I've ever read. J.C. Ryle booklet, A Call to Prayer. Right, so if you and your discipling relationships want to help one another learn how to pray, I would commend you to get the booklet. It's short, J.C. Ryle, A Call to Prayer. You can read it together in one meeting, but I bet you won't because it's so good. You'll be stopping to pray every few words. It is very good. It is very good, J.C. Ryle. But there are other good resources like that you can read to learn how to be encouraged in your prayer. All right, any other ideas on how our discipling relationships can be used to help others learn to pray?
Also giving the person you're assembling the opportunity to practice.
Yep.
Praying.
Yeah.
And to get feedback.
Yep. Yeah, so that's a great transition then to our next. How can we practice the discipline of prayer in our discipling relationship? So the first question was kind of a teaching, learning, growing in prayer. This is just actually practicing it. You know, there's still growth to come, but we're going to practice this discipline in our relationships. I would guess, I apologize if I'm assuming wrong, but I would guess that if you get together with another Christian and hope to do them some spiritual good, you might pray at the beginning of your time or meal, and maybe then again before you leave. But it doesn't always have to be just that way, right? I can testify to the sweetness of what is something of a discipleship relationship. When we get together as elders on the first and third Tuesdays of the month, we typically spend, at least an hour in prayer. And we're not setting that time for discipleship, but we are praying together. And I benefit tremendously from that. It is sweet to pray that time with these brothers, right? To learn from them in their prayers, but also just be encouraged, right? That they're praying things for the church, for you all, that maybe I hadn't thought of, or in a way that I would pray. And it's a great encouragement to me. So we're practicing that discipline in our relationship. So I want to say that, if the typical model is praying at the beginning or at the end or once in your time together, you can just get together with another Christian and spend all that time in prayer. It's probably not normal, but we can, in our discipling relationships, use that as a time together to pray. And I have a few practical tips, but once I get through these, I would love to hear your tips for how to pray together with other Christians. So here are some tips for that. I would commend taking turns in prayer. You don't always have to do this, but you can. That means if you have decided that you're going to pray with another Christian for 10 or 15 minutes, and you spend 7 minutes one person praying and 7 minutes another person praying, it can be hard to stay active. So maybe just, you know, someone pray a short prayer, then the next person pray a short prayer, and go back and forth, taking turns. It's just a way to stay engaged, right? A very simple tip, have a list, right? What you're going to pray for. You know, sometimes it's hard in the moment to think of what to pray for, and you kind of come up short. So yeah, think of, you know, maybe a personal matter that you want to pray for, something that you're praying for in terms of evangelism, a church matter that you want to pray for, and a missionary matter. And of those four things, each of you take turns praying for those four things, and you've prayed for those eight things together. Use the directory. You know, the directory is given to you in part to be a prayer guide, to pray for the other members of this church. Another tip, don't just listen. When in extended prayer, it is helpful for us to repeat what the other person praying says in your own mind. So this is helpful for actively being engaged, like when we're praying the prayer of intercession here, is to not only listen, but repeat in your own mind. And not word for word. You don't just, like, you're parroting, you know, exactly what they say. But as you would say in your own words, right? Or if the prayer that they're praying prompts you to think of another prayer, an additional prayer, make that brief prayer in a sentence, in a few words, then join back in with that prayer. You know, you don't have to be, you have permission in our prayers or in our sermons to, if it makes you think of something, to think of that and then jump back in, right? You can say yes out loud. Amen. Please, Lord. Right? Not only to encourage the other person praying that they are listening and you're agreeing with them, but it also helps you stay focused. Practically, stand if you need to. Sometimes it's hard to stay seated for extended prayer. So if you need to, stand up or even walk. So if you're doing together with somebody to pray, you can say, it's going to be hard for us to sit for 15, 20, whatever. Let's take a walk. And as we walk, we'll pray. So those are just some tips. How we can better practice the discipline of prayer in our discipling relationships. I'd love to hear from you. Do you have any ideas, tips, how we can better practice the discipline of prayer in our relationships?
This probably goes along with your habit list.
Okay.
But, I like to use sticky notes for a lot of things in my life.
Okay.
But when I know that I'm getting together with someone to pray, I'll jot down on sticky notes, like just maybe some scriptures that I want to use in my prayer,
okay,
those kind of things.
Okay.
Just because I'm not real good on the fly,
yep.
So I like to have, I want it to be somewhat organic,
yep.
But at the same time, like I want,
amen,
to include these things in my prayer. So.
Yeah, amen. Well said. Sticky notes. That raises another one. You scripture in your prayers, right? You know, maybe I've had wonderful prayer meetings with people where we would just read a section of scripture, maybe a paragraph or two, and then pray out of that. Each of us take turns praying out of that, and then read the next section, and take turns praying out of that, and read the next section. So it's a combination of prayer and our next topic, Bible intake. Yeah. Any other tips?
Just be praying. Walk around. I think I would walk around the high school, just be praying out loud. God,
yeah.
Let the children that are coming here and just,
amen,
go. That means every parent, every mother, brother should walk around the school.
Amen.
Before it starts, and just start praying.
Yep.
Out loud. And I don't care. It's just scare everybody to death. Wake everybody up. They're,
amen,
in a coma, they won't be when they know we're the children be there.
Amen. Yeah. That's good. All right. Well, then we will consider with the next half of our class, scripture intake. And again, we're going to answer these two questions, right? How can our discipling relationships be used to help others learn to read, to memorize scripture, to study the Bible? And then how can we practice this discipline of Bible reading, study, memorization in our discipling relationship? So, does anybody remember what the acronym SCAN stood for, what we considered a few weeks ago? SCAN.
Sufficiency.
A is authority.
Okay, A is authority, that's right. So we got A. Yeah, so these are four attributes of Scripture and why it's important for us to read it. So we have authority there in the place of A.
Sufficiency, clarity,
authority,
necessity.
And necessity. That's a strong one. We need it. Yeah. Yeah. So it's simply vital. All those are ways of saying that it's important, vital in the Christian life and growth. There's no way around it, right? If prayer is our breathing, then Bible intake is our eating, right? You need oxygen to survive. 3 minutes, you can't live without oxygen, but you can't live, I think, what do they say? It's the principles of three. You can live, is it?
Three days without water.
Yeah, so you need food. And our habit is to eat three meals a day, so you should be regular in Bible intake. The Bible compares it to our milk and then solid food, right? Calls it the bread of heaven that sustains our lives and gives us growth. So let's again state the obvious, same thing we did last time. Are Christians born again knowing how to understand the Bible?
Somewhat.
It's a yes or no, right? Right. There is this principle, this Holy Spirit in us that gives us understanding of the Word, but we do not have perfect comprehension. I've been studying it, I don't know how many years, right, at this point, and I still don't. Right? We need it modeled and to learn it. Can we make errors in our reading of the Scriptures?
Yes.
We need correction, right? Is reading the Bible sometimes hard? Yeah, we grow weary of it, fatigue, we lose motivation, or we are confused, right? We need the love of others. So again, if you notice, that's all part of discipleship. We need the reading of Scripture to be modeled, taught, we need correction in it, and we need others to love us in it. So again, this is a matter for our Christian discipleship. So let's consider that first question together. How can our discipling relationship be used to help others to learn to read, study, and memorize the Bible? What are things that we can do to help others in our discipling relationship learn to study, read, and memorize the Bible?
Just ask you about their Bible intake.
Okay.
Even outside of the meeting.
Okay. Yep. So just pursuing, understanding their habits of it. Yep. Okay.
A model for that?
Model. Okay.
Sit down with somebody and let them see what you do. Okay.
Okay. So yeah, you can do that together. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Any other? Just how can you teach, model?
In sermon.
Okay.
Is there modeling of how to read and study the Bible? And
yeah.
Sometimes it's correcting, and sometimes it's teaching, and sometimes it's all of those.
Sometimes, yeah. And Lord willing, in a faithful gospel preaching church that is dedicated to the sufficiency, clarity, authority, and necessity of the Bible, you will hear that taught week in and week out. Yep.
Study how to read the Bible.
Study, yeah. So you can, I think this is what I mean, read a good book that teaches you how to read the Bible, right? One of the first ones that came to mind for me is a resource called How to Read the Bible for All It's Worth by two men, Feed and Stewart. So it's a wonderful resource, but there are many like it that encourage you and teach you in your discipline of Scripture intake. Or a little booklet called An Approach to the Extended Memory of Scripture by Andy Davis, which would commend an example for you in how to memorize Scripture. Yeah, so you can read a good book about this discipline. Yep. Anything else?
Memorizing together.
Okay.
With a friend.
Yeah. So I overheard my wife last night on Marco Polo, a group of women that are encouraging one another in their discipling relationship with one another to memorize the book of Ephesians. So they're trying to work through that little by little, and part of their discipling relationship through the use of this resource, Marco Polo, is encouraging them to memorize that scripture together. Yep. Any other ideas? How can we help in our discipling relationships others learn to study, memorize, read the Bible? I would recommend this is something like a tool or a book, but use good study tools, whether it be a study Bible or some of the free resources, good resources available, as we recognize that there's a lot of bad resources out there on the internet. But the Gospel Coalition website has all the books in the Knowing the Bible series. So Knowing the Bible is a series of Bible studies that are all 12 weeks on every 66 books of the Bible. And so I'm meeting up with a brother in church. We're studying Ephesians, and that's what we're doing. We open that website, Knowing the Bible, on Ephesians, and we just go in week in, week out. And it has questions. It directs us how we're to think about that book of the Bible. So a really good resource there. Yep. Well, the Gospel Coalition, and if you look on there, they're called the, I just forgot what I said it was, Knowing the Bible, So they're published by Crossway, given for free to TGC to publish on the website for all to enjoy. You can take seminary classes. There are available out there classes. So if you're really interested in the nitty gritty maybe of a Bible study, Tenji, have you taken that mock massive? What do they call it? MOOC is it? Massive online. Anyway, their classes that seminaries offer. Yeah, we're on hermeneutics, right? The study of the interpretation of the Bible or things like that. So yeah, there's a lot of resources, and you can do that with other people. Like, hey, let's do this, whether independently get together and discuss it, or let's do it together. Yeah. Any other ideas? How can our discipleship relationship be used to help others to learn to read, study, and memorize the Bible? All right, then we will consider our next question. How can we practice these disciplines, the discipline of Bible intake, reading, studying, and memorization in our discipling relationships? I might venture, this might be exactly what you think of when you think of a run-of-the-mill discipling relationship, right? Two or maybe a few people getting together to read, study, and memorize the Bible. So this is kind of bread and butter, but how do we do that? What are some of your ideas, your tips about how to practice this in our relationships?
Read with them?
Yeah. So it's not, you know, you don't have to have a PhD in a book of the Bible in order to read it with them, right? I do this. I get together with brothers, having not studied the passage at all in advance, like that week, and just read it with them, and we talk about what we saw, right? Just read it out loud. And there are things that you can come to that meeting ready with, but you don't have to have done the work in advance, right? You can Google it later, but someone has developed seven arrows. Just Google Seven Arrows Bible, and it's just seven questions that you can, I have it printed on a bookmark that I can bring with me. They're just seven questions that you, having read the passage, consider. What does this passage say? What did this passage mean to its original audience? What does this passage tell us about God? What does this passage tell us about man? What does this passage demand of me? How does this passage change the way I relate to people? And how does this passage prompt me to pray to God? So there's seven things that you can discuss together, having done no preparation in advance. Just read the Bible, little by little. Any other ideas? How can you practice these disciplines together?
I think they go along with the things that we talked about that you do, right? Mm-hmm. You study, you do something with them.
Yes, sir.
You do a Bible study with them specifically, a book. You know, you just put that... Put the things that we said to do into practice.
In teaching, into practice. Amen. That's right. Yep. Yeah. I could commend to you, one of the ways that you can do this in a small group is to go to small groups. All right. So what we do on our Sunday evenings typically is to discuss the text that the sermon was on that morning, to discuss the way that the sermon applied that passage, and talk about it in the nitty-gritty of our own life. It's an opportunity to kind of have a back and forth about the text. And how it particularly landed on you. Yeah, so there are lots of ways that we in our discipling relationships can practice the disciplines of prayer and Bible intake. This is just the beginning, and this is just two of the disciplines, right? We have yet to discuss fasting or fellowship or lots of other ones. But again, I want to remind you of the goal. What are we doing in our discipling? It's to help others to follow Jesus through these intentional relationships in which we model, teach, correct, and love. They are, these disciplines of prayer and scripture intake are means that we can help ourselves and others follow our Savior Jesus Christ more closely. Are there any final comments, questions, or observations before we close in prayer?
You throw those seven things out again, you just kind of whip it off.
Yeah.
It's about God, it's about man.
Google them, Seven Arrows Bible later, but I will read them again. What does this passage say? So that's just making observations. What did you notice it says? What did this passage mean to its original audience? So that's considering its meaning, particularly when it was written. What does this passage tell us about God? What does this passage tell us about man? So just thinking about God and man in the passage. His holiness, our sin. What does this passage demand of me? So basically, what is it commanding, either by explicit example or by command? How does this passage change the way I relate to people? And how does this passage prompt me to pray to God? So, again, that's probably still too fast, Kathy.
No, I got you.
Okay. Again, if you Google seven arrows Bible,
just
sure
six
looks
parts.
That was just six? One, two, three, four, five, six. I have seven.
Seven?
What does it say?
Audience. God,
what it says to be
first one is, what does this passage
say?
Say,
to begin with?
Say. That's just a very basic question. That's making sure that you actually read it and understand it, right? That it's all there.
Okay.
My wife is calling.
A lot of text between that question and
sorry. Let me pray, and then we'll be dismissed. Father, we do thank you for not only these wonderful gifts you have given us as your people to be able to pray to you and to hear from your word, to hear you speak to us in it. Father, we pray that these disciplines, these gifts, would be exercised not only in our private life, but as we gather in small groups, Lord, as we help one another to follow you, that we would pray with one another, that we would read your word with one another. Lord, this way that we together would be built up into Christ as our head.